All right. Welcome back to Laravel Podcast Season 5. As always, I'm your host, Matt Stauffer, and this is the season where we're talking about a package for every single one. And you know, if we're talking about packages in the Laravel ecosystem, we're going to talk to Freek. So this joining me today is Freek van de Herten, the co-founder and big guy around town. It's Spotsy, who you've heard of before. Of course, you do Laravel stuff. So Freek, would you say hi to the people, and can you tell us a little bit about Laravel Backup that we're going to be talking about today?
Yes, hello. I'm glad to be on. You've thrown a lot of titles at me. Normally, I introduce myself as just a regular developer
at a
Belgian company. I'm a Belgian modest guy, a little bit, but I'm happy about talking about the packages on this podcast.
Yeah, we all know Spotsy's made a lot of packages, and so what I did was I lined them up, and I lined them up in order of most downloads, basically. And so it turns out that Laravel Backup, according to the, I don't know if I used to look at packages or what, but Laravel Backup has the most downloads of all of them. Does that line up with your numbers? I know you guys keep track of this kind of stuff.
I'm not keeping on my eye on it from day to day, but I think there are a couple that are downloaded even more.
I don't even know why I got this one at the top of the list. Either way, it's definitely popular. I wouldn't have made it on this list at all. So let's talk about Laravel Backup. Can you give us the elevator pitch of this package? What is the main thing that it's solving?
Yeah, I think it's named pretty well. So this package can make a backup of your application. So if your server just burns down, or maybe you accidentally just wipe out the S3 or your Vapor application, then this package can just save you from tears and worse, I should say. So
when you say backup, we can talk about a couple different things, though. What are we actually backing up with this package?
Yeah, you can basically choose what should be backed up. So there are two main sort of things it can back up. It can back up files from the file system, and you can decide what gets backed up. And you can back up your database, because that's kind of important of your application as well. And how it does that, basically, it just dumps the database onto the file system. So it's just a regular file. It puts that together with the other files in a zip file, and it copies that to a external storage that you can configure yourself as well.
So I'm sitting here and I'm going, I'm a modern programmer. I use Git. Why would I need to back up my files? Can you give me an example of some files I might actually want to back up?
Yeah, that's a very good question, because people have asked me that before. Source code doesn't need to be backed up because it's in version control. But on your server, there are a lot of other things that aren't backed up. Take, for instance, maybe some media files that your users have uploaded, or maybe the environment file where every key that your application uses is listed in. I think if you imagine if your server would be gone, it might take you a while to just get all those values back. So it makes sense to have a backup of that file as well. Yeah, and the database, of course, because that's something that in most cases isn't in version control at all. So you really still need backups. And I think even when you use something like Vapor, where probably you use something like S3 or something for your user-generated content, it can't be a bad, if it's not too much data, to have a backup of that as well. Because, maybe by accident you're deleting your S3 storage, or maybe one of your users just deletes their account. You delete all the files, but afterwards the customer wants to come back, and then you really want to have a backup. So there are lots of scenarios where you're going to need this.
Yeah. So normally I would not ask this question until later, but I know that there's a few people listening that are going, back up my environment variables. What on earth are you talking about? Security concern. Can you dip tiny little bit into, tell me about the security of the zip file? Am I worried about the contents of the zip file? Let's say users upload their personal pictures in there. Let's say we've got environment keys that are super protected. What does security look like when it comes to these backups? And then we can go on to the normal. But I felt like there's going to be a lot of people who, until we answer that question, aren't going to be able to listen to a single other word.
Yeah. So that's something that's it's really an important question. And there are two ways for securities. One is that the package can also encrypt the backups itself. Mm-hmm. And that's a feature that's baked in the package itself. But what you can also do is where you're copying your backup to, you can add some extra security there as well. I know that at Amazon, at S3, you can configure your bucket in such a way that nothing can come out of it that is just dropping stuff in there and nothing can be read there. You can configure it that all the contents on there should be encrypted as well. And basically, you can use the features of the backup destination to make sure that your backups are secure as well. But everything stands or falls with keeping your credentials to the backup destination secure as well. That's a very good idea to do. Now, I'm not a security expert, but what security experts always tell me is that it's not necessarily a bad thing to keep your backups of everything in one place so that you have like one thing to secure very well, as opposed to have like tens or hundreds of different backup destinations. Just pick one and just secure it very, very well.
Fantastic job with that. No, that's really helpful to hear. Yeah, I mean, AWS S3, for anybody who's not familiar, that's Amazon's file storage system. The permissions can be really confusing there. However, the default permissions these days, which didn't used to be the case, are nobody can read anything at all, which, just like Frank just mentioned, is wonderful, because if nobody can read it, the only thing you could do is write stuff in it, and you're actually going to have to modify the settings at all to ever even get something out of it. So that might make it a little bit difficult to get something out maybe your first time, but the benefit of that is, by default, nothing can be touched by anyone, or at least nothing from a public. I can't remember the specifics, but regardless, the native kind of like S3 permissions are like super, super, super locked down. So even with somebody who doesn't have a ton of knowledge, you're not going to get in the circumstance where you're like, oops, I accidentally backed it up to a public URL or something like that. Like, literally, you can't do that unless you're pressing the wrong buttons, you know, so makes a ton of sense.
Indeed. And I would really recommend that if you use S3 to store your backups, create a dedicated bucket for that. Don't mix it with any other data or something. Just do something separately, make it as secure as possible. That's a good thing to do. Now, we're talking about S3 the whole time, but the backup package can actually backup to any destination that you want. We leverage Laravel's file system for that, a cloud file system. I don't know how
it's called
marketed these days, but it just leverages that. So if you want, you can also just backup to another disk for whatever vendor that you might like. So I think in terms of security, you have a lot of options just because you just control where those backups are being stored.
Totally. All right, so let's go back to the original agenda. The next question is, what is the history of this package? Where did it actually come from?
Yeah, this is actually one of the first big packages that we've made.
Oh, yeah.
And I've made no secret of this. Those packages, they have always been made for like our own projects and our own things. I can only create open source if I know that we're going to use it. And this was like one of the first. So it ties a little bit with the history of SPASI itself. Okay. So before that, we used Laravel. We created other frameworks like Zend framework or maybe no framework at all. And we made like smallish websites. And we didn't need dedicated hosting for that. We started out as a small agency and we just used shared hosting. And it sounds really crappy. And
that was the world those days.
In those days, it felt pretty good because you didn't have to do anything about server management in your application.
There was no Forge back then, okay?
There was no Forge, indeed. And something that you got with shared hosting is that your backups were made for you by your provider. So you shouldn't care about backups too much because you can just pick up the phone and ask your hosting provider, I need that file back. But of course, we start to use Laravel. We are very early adopters of Forge as well. I think if Taylor would look up our user or team ID, I think it would have like one or maybe two digits. We were really, really
sounds,
fast.
Sounds right that. For me too, yeah.
Yeah, of course, when you provision your own service, we need to have backups of that as well. And I think one of the earliest hosting providers where Forge integrated with was DigitalOcean, and they had like weekly backups. But I felt that weekly backups wasn't good enough. If one of our customers would have accidentally deleted something and I would say, yeah, we can only go back for a week, that wouldn't be enough. So then we started thinking, how can we backup our application? And there basically wasn't anything in this space. So we just, made our own solution for that. And that's where the idea was born. And I think in the time, this was when we were still in the Laravel 4 days. Some things like the cloud file system and like the notification system, it wasn't in Laravel. So in the earlier versions of this package, we're, I think at version 8 right now, I think in version 1 or 2, you'll find that there is like an own notification system in there and an own cloud file system in there. And for me, as Laravel grew, it was such fun to just throw away my own code and just fill it up with Laravel's native features. Yeah. I still remember like just throwing all the notification stuff and replaced it with the native notification function. And it felt so good to do that. So it's also a little bit of my playground to learn newish Laravel features.
I love that. That's really cool. I mean, that's one of my favorite parts of having open source packages, although just because of who I am, mine are more often open source software as a service than packages that I get to go play around and have fun with. So, and they're always the experimenting place. Oh, we're going to try, whatever, new framework, new tool, new pattern, because it's in public. Other people can benefit from it. I use this thing on a regular basis or whatever. So totally get you there. And I love that. So what's the installation story? If I wanted, let's say I've got a server right now and it's not backing up the database and users can upload their profile pictures. And I would really like for those profile pictures to be saved. I'd like the data to be saved. It's a Forge server. And let's say I'm going to use S3. What are the steps between where I am right now and actually getting this thing up and running?
Well, you'll be happy to know that there aren't too many steps involved. So what you should do is install the package inside of your own Laravel application. And you can just do that with Composer. And then in the config file, you can just choose which files do you want to backup? And do you wish to backup the database? Then you have to configure a destination, which can be one of the disks of your that you configured in configfilesystem.php. I think then you should schedule the backup job. And that's where you can basically choose the frequency of the backups. So if you just schedule the backups to run once a day, then you have daily backups. If you schedule it once an hour, then you get hourly backups. It's as simple as that, really. Yeah. And there are a couple of optional things that you can do, which I highly recommend doing. But with these steps that I've said, you're already backing up. So you already have backups somewhere.
Yeah.
But after a while, you're going to store a lot of backups, right? And you don't need every backup, maybe. So there's also built-in functionality to clean up the older backups. And that comes out of the box. It's also highly configurable. But by default, we use something that's called, I think, the grandfather-father-son scheme.
Okay.
And I think if you Google that on Wikipedia, you get like the formal definition. But if I translate it to human, then it's very simple. It's just keeping a number of backups for an amount of days. After that period, just keeping a single backup for every week. So the first 8 days, you have a backup a day. For the next 4 weeks after those 8 weeks, you have a backup a week. Then per month, then per year.
Yeah.
And you don't need to do anything for that. You can just fill out how many backups do you want to keep daily, how many monthly. So that just takes care of that. And there's also another functionality that I highly recommend setting up, and that is monitoring the health of the backups.
Mm-hmm.
Because if something goes wrong backing up your application and you don't know about it, then you're in some,
you're in
some misery, and then tears and worse is going to happen. So what's also built in the package is a way of monitoring your backup. Like, mm-hmm. when is the last time you took the backup? And if it's older than, I think it's by default, 1 day, mm-hmm. then we will send you a notification. Yeah, notifications mm-hmm. are also built in. So we can notify you via Slack, mail, whatever you want, basically, when there's a new backup being made, or when, and this is the common use case, when something goes wrong, when there's like no backup found for a day, or something went wrong taking the backup, we can immediately send a notification for that as well.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend just turning on those features as well. Mm-hmm. And I think, but this is like a little bit of an advanced thing already, you can set up the monitoring part of the package in a separate Laravel application so that it's another application monitoring all of your other applications.
Yeah.
So if your server goes, original server goes down, then your backup server will still say, hey, there's something wrong with your backups.
I didn't know about that. That sounds sort of like a cron check, basically, but it's purely just for this particular webhook.
Yeah, indeed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. Is it a webhook? Just basically set it up so that each of your individual consumers sends a webhook out to the monitoring one, and then it, if it doesn't get that webhook, it gives an alert, or is it a different kind of system there?
It's a little bit different. It's not necessarily via webhook. It's like the monitoring server is really going to go to your application and check where is it backupping to. I'm going to check if it has already done that.
Yeah. Got it. Cool. That's awesome. I didn't know that. I mean, I'm trying to pretend like I didn't know these other things, but that I actually didn't know. So, all right, very cool. So you kind of walked me through the workflow, what it's going to be like to set it up for the first time. So I think one thing that folks who aren't familiar with the file system might ask is, how is it getting access to these files? Is it getting access through a disk I have to set up? Or can I just get it any directory I want in the entire Laravel app or any directory in the entire server? Like, what does it look like to configure where those files are that I'm actually going to be, you know, making a part of the backup?
I think it's in the config file. It's been a while since I've checked it myself, actually. I think in the config file, you can just say, hey, these directories need to be backed up. And you got me there. I don't really know if you can just backup another file system. It's been a while.
Yeah. I didn't actually know the answer to this one. So
I'm going to just live check, and I'm pretty sure it will be in the config file. And it seems like it's only the local files that this mm-hmm. package can backup. So you can say, hey, I want to include these files. Mm-hmm. And then you can say, I want to exclude these ones. And by default, we are going to include the entire base path. So that's your entire Laravel application. Mm-hmm. But what we're not going to backup, what we're going to exclude is the vendor directory and the node modules, because probably mm-hmm. you don't want to backup that at all. And then you can specify stuff like, do you want to follow symlinks? You know, if you have like mm-hmm. a storage directory that isn't really in your application, but symlinked into the application, then we can follow the symlink and backup those files as well. I've already mentioned that this package is already at version 8, so there was already a lot of polishing going on here. So it's really battle tested, and the features that people have requested and that we needed that makes sense there. I think at this point they're all in the package.
Love it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, and that's a perfect transition to our next question, which is, are there any lesser used features that are really cool, or really cool things you've seen people to do with this that are kind of like outside of the norm?
I don't think so, really. It's a little bit of a dry package. Like, it has this aim and you just do what's on the box with
exactly, what's on the tin, yeah.
Something worthwhile to know is that like the backing up part of Laravel backup is a package on its own. It's called the DB dumper. And if you want to hand roll some of dumping databases, then you can use that package to do that. And in fact, we have another package that leverages that DB dumper as well. I don't want to stray too far, but I'll say like the basics of it. So we have another package, which is called DB Snapshots. Okay. And it's basically used for testing, where you can just... If you're developing, you can just dump your production, your testing or your local database, use that in tests and have a couple of different databases. So if you want to test a certain scenario, you can just dump and load up a certain version of your database.
That's very cool.
And yeah, that makes use of the DB dumper of Laravel backup itself. So I guess that's a little bit of a strange usage of some functionality in the Laravel backup package. Yeah,
that's very cool. And we'll make sure we'll link up Laravel DB snapshots in the show notes as well if anybody's interested in that. So
cool.
All right. So are there any other aspects of this package before we move on to the development roadmap? Is there any other aspects of using it or the history of it or anything else that you want to cover before we're done?
Yeah, I think we got it all. I'm going here through the documentation. I think we touched upon everything here. So all right. That's good. Yeah.
All right. Well, our next one is, do you have a development roadmap you'd like to share? It kind of sounds like you're good, right? You said you're pretty happy with kind of feature complete-ish.
I think it's kind of feature complete. But what we do with this package, and we do that basically with every package, is that we make sure that it uses like the latest Laravel and PHP versions. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's basically the only thing that's on like the big, or on the small roadmap for this. There are basically no features planned because yeah, we don't need any features and there aren't many things proposed yet. Yeah, like I said, we're already at version 8 here. This package is 6 or 7 years old at this point, so it's like a granddaddy of packages.
You know what you want it to do and it does it. So.
Yeah,
I love it.
There's, I don't know if we need to delve in too much, but there is basically also another backup package that we have that isn't too well known because it's like one of our paid ones, which we don't market too hard because we're still thinking about should we make this a little bit bigger or not? We're still thinking a little bit about it, and it's called the backup server. Okay. And what this thing will do is a little bit different to what Laravel Backup does. So what Laravel Backup Server does, you'll find it already on our website, even though we don't talk about it too much, but we use it ourselves, is that you install the backup server on one server, and that server will basically SSH into all of your other servers and backup all the other applications to it. And it has something really incredible, I think, inside of it. And that is data deduplication. So if we take a backup and after a while you take another backup and we see like the contents of the file is the same, then we're only going to take space of one of those files. So it works a little bit like, if you're familiar with that, like macOS's Time Machine.
Yeah, it's just uses like the diff, basically the delta.
It's not really the diff, but it uses something like hard links. Like if it sees like it's the same file, then it will still have like you have backup one, backup two, and inside if you open up the backups, it will say like, hey, here's a composer.json, here's a composer.json, but those two files will actually point to the same disk space on your disk, and it will take care that if you delete one of them, then other one will still work. So it's a little bit different than diffing. And it's like, the first time that I got that working, it was really cool. But the reason why we're not marketing it yet is because it has no UI yet. So it's just the core functionality. And I think if we want to market this, it needs to be like the whole package that everybody can use it, even if you're not a programmer related. So, it's maybe a little bit far off, but that's a little bit on the backup roadmap of Spacy, just growing that a little bit more.
But the next question was, would you like to request any help support? So you kind of just gave me the one that, you know, the help and support is, if that gets released, then consider buying that, you know, both because it may be helpful and also because that's a way to say thank you for the the free work that Spasi does in terms of the open source packages. So
that's always a nice thing to do, I think. Yeah,
love it.
I think if some people want to contribute with Laravel backup with the free version, yeah, whenever there's like a new PHP or Laravel version come out, just to help with just getting the source code even better, make sure that the tests run on the right things. You know what? I'm going to check out the issue tab, and yeah, Matt, it's really quite something. There are zero open issues and 760 closed ones. There are no
feels
pull
good.
Requests and 517 pull requests handled. So we are on top of things with this package.
Love it. Well, congratulations, because I don't think any of my repos have zero issues. So you're winning right now. I love it. Well, I think that's it for my questions for today. Is there anything else about this package you wanted to cover today before we're done?
I would recommend people to really use something like this. If you're not backing up, just do it, because one day your server will go down. It's
really
a question
had.
Of when, not
yes,
if,
not
and
whether,
then
yeah.
you really want to have this. I'll tell a very short story about this, and this is something that if you Google it, you'll come across quite some stories. So one day this happened to our company as well, that we were using DigitalOcean, and they lost a server. So it was just gone from the one minute to the other. It's gone.
Wow.
It doesn't exist anymore. Bam. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to bash on DigitalOcean too much. If you Google around, you'll find similar stories for every kind of hosting. These kind of things can happen. They don't happen a lot, but if they happen to you, you really want to have backups, you know, and not just a local backup, like I'm just going to copy the directory. No, your whole server can be gone. Just
vanish.
Just, yeah.
Wow.
And it could be like some sort of human accident. Maybe there's like fire breaking out in the data server, and it destroys the original and the backups. It could happen. So just take backups.
It's not free, but it's really close to free, because you're basically just paying for S3 storage, and it's well-recycled S3 storage, so it's not even that much. So good call.
Yeah,
I like that.
Indeed.
Well, Frank,
indeed.
Thank you, as always, for all the packages you create, for the love and attention you give to them, and thanks for hanging out with me today to explain this package. I really appreciate you, man.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for inviting me, Matt.
Of course. And the rest of y'all, we'll see y'all next time.
Bye-bye.